And Tis the Law has the lead at the top of the stretch. It is Tis the Law in front with 3/16 to the finish. Tis the Law has a four-length lead. He's left the others behind.
Live from the backstretch at historic Saratoga Racecourse, this is Racing Across America. Racing Across America is brought to you by Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga. Just minutes from the track. The new Capital OTB wagering platform. Bet any place, anytime, with the new Capital OTB wagering platform. CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier wagering site in New York State. And the Clubhouse Racebook. Can't make it to the track? Make it to the Clubhouse Racebook. 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America on this Friday morning. Day two here at Saratoga. Coming up a little bit later on, Capital OTB President John Signor scheduled to stop by. And our former colleague here at the desk, going back the last few years, Brian Natto, now based down at Gulfstream, but he has made the journey. We knew he'd show up some point during the meet, right at the beginning. So we'll have Brian in for a little conversation as well a little bit later on. But happy to be joined today by Joe Clancy from the Saratoga Special. Game plan is to have the rotating gang at the Special, Joe, his brother Sean, and some Tom Law as well come in, talk a little bit about racing in the Saratoga Special and what you guys are doing on Fridays. Joe, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Very good.
You said day two, which is in some ways it feels like day half, and other than day 20. Yeah. I don't know. But
you were talking about your first couple of days yesterday, and you know, I can see where it. I'm in the same boat. It seems like you're going to be fresh as a daisy day one, and it seems like the last week, you know, they get going up here and everything, and doing with the newspaper. We'll talk a little racing in a few, but as always, when we have you on to begin the meet, we want to talk a little bit about the Saratoga Special itself. The first issue is out. First and foremost, Saratoga Special, which has been a Saratoga institution now. I know that sounds it, but I really think it is. People look forward to it, and you see your stands over at the track at the end of the day are almost always empty. People are picking it up and enjoying it. Talk a little bit about where people can find the Special and what the schedule will be this year.
Yeah, schedule, first off, we're going to be Wednesday, Saturday, and then with a six-day run during sales week. So we'll pick it up Hall of Fame Friday and run all the way through that week. And it's not quite the 35 papers we used to do a few years ago, but it's a little more sane given Naira's schedule, given our schedule, print costs, and every other thing. It's online at thisishorseracing.com. You can find it there as a PDF. Every issue is up there, and then in between days, the handicapping is up there on the website. So, and you can find it around town. It's all over the track, various racks and things. And then there's 60 some locations around town. You know, hotels, regular convenience stores, impressions. As many places as we can kind of find that make sense. And they're always also in a paper box right outside our office on East Avenue.
Very good. And as you say, people can find it online. If you're in the area, you can pick it up in the area. But folks who aren't in the area can catch it online as well. This is horseracing.com. But I will note also, because that is an important message, that the handicappers will be available every day, because John Chapazian, he's one of the best. And so if people want to follow, you can pick up the hard copy, obviously, but on days the hard copy isn't printed, go catch the picks at the website.
Yeah, John and Tom Law had a big slugfest last year, and John eked him out at the very end. But the four are great. I mean, we got a little bit of a blend with John, Tom, Charlie Bedard, Rob Whitlock, Jessica Paquette. You get some long shot players. You get a little bit of everything in there. And I bump into people all the time who say I follow one or the other. So it's great, and it's a little beyond me. I'm glad they're doing that, not me. But again, you can find the that's sort of the only continuity we try to do on the website, is make sure the handicapping is up there as a separate article. So like today's are up on the website. So, you know, where yesterday's were in the paper.
Also, one of the things that you kind of feature and talk about a little bit, and will be worth following during the meet. You guys, obviously, Sean was a jump jockey, and you guys do a lot of coverage in the paper and beyond the paper on the jump side of things as well, and that'll be part of this year also. I saw Bill Gallo over on the front side yesterday, National Steeplechase Association, obviously the jump. I love the jump races. I think they're a lot of fun. I was talking to Bill. They'll be going simultaneously up here and down at Colonial as well, but there'll be some jump coverage, obviously, also.
Yeah, the Steeplechase people are going to put a lot of miles on the cars between Colonial Downs and Saratoga. Colonial Downs on Monday, Saratoga on Wednesdays. But, yeah, it's a tradition. Again, if you go back to the earliest days at the track, there's – you see these hurdles out. And some of those pictures looks like the hurdles are on the dirt. I hope they really weren't, but I think they were. And so it goes back to the 1800s, you know. Like, and so to have it still part of Saratoga.
They were real men back then.
Yeah, exactly. They didn't care. When the jumps were higher, the races were longer, horses were faster, everything. But I think that doesn't get lost at all on the Steeplechase people. The opportunity to come run up here and the history and the connections, and you go through the legendary horses that have come to Saratoga, you know, flat and jump, and that part's really fun. We have Lonesome Glory and Zacchio and Flatterer, and just all the way back to some of the, you know, legends of the game. And I think it's a fun little part of it. Obviously, it's unfamiliar to some people, and gambling-wise, if it's not your thing, fine. But, you know, there's some value there. You got to try to find it, that's all.
Yeah, I think people get scared and kind of shy away. To me, you handicap it just like you handicap, you know, the horses that are good or the horses that are good.
Exactly.
And also, you can look at the human side of things. I mean, for years and years, I am lamenting still that he was retired now, essentially, Jonathan Shepherd. Loved him for years, and on the jump side of things, that's kind of where he made his name a little bit, but then had plenty of good flat runners as well. But now we can follow his legacy with Kerry Breon and some other trainers out there as well. But I think, as I say, you can latch on also to the human side of thing and maybe get some handicapping angles there, because typically there'll be two or three that kind of separate themselves.
Yeah,
the
biggest barns this year, Kerry, you mentioned, Leslie Young has a lot of horses. Jack Fisher is always a player up here. I think, you know, those are the three biggest stables in jump racing. It'll be interesting to see if a few other of the kind of smaller stables. Todd Wyatt usually comes in with live horses. Cyril Murphy comes in with live horses. And, you got to sort of just, again, I'm like you, try to handicap it. Look at the form. They're thoroughbred racehorses. A lot of them have some flat form back there. You might recognize some names of horses that are, are switching over, which I think helps. And, you know, recent racetrack form helps, especially at Saratoga, because it's fast. You know, it's a lot of the other jump courses are longer distances, hills and things. So the racing at the flat track is quick. And so a horse with some recent flat form is a good indicator a lot of times.
I should mention, too, are we going to be able to root for some Sean Clancy horses jumping up here?
Yeah, I think River D's got a few. There is some qualifying rules to get into the allowance races at Saratoga, and that's where the horses are trying to break their maidens and things at Colonial to try to get up here. But, yeah, I think River D will have a few for sure.
Ah, nice. So we'll root for those. Also want to mention, because every year when you come in the first time, we like to talk a little bit about, again, the history of the newspaper and being a little bit of an institution, as I say. Part of that is also, man, you guys are the feeder to the industry. Journalism and the front side. And talk a little bit about some of the names. And this year, Marietti, alumnus of the Saratoga Special. I've been getting press releases for the last few months from the NYRA press office, and she's doing some writing for them, so she has moved on. Talk a little bit about over the years some of the folks that have come. And the names are kind of incredible, as I say, all various parts of the industry.
Yeah, and I don't think we thought it could do that. We knew we needed help, and we needed to try to bring some people on, especially at the beginning, we had little to no money to pay anybody, you know, so it was just the summer opportunity for some people, and we're really proud of that. It is great to bump into people, bump into people here or wherever. You know, you mentioned Brian Natto, you know, Gabby Godet, Travis Stone I saw yesterday, and you're like, hey, I remember when he was in college and worked for us, and we had no idea what he was talking about, but it was an internet radio show. It was an internet radio show, and he had to go in the closet in the office to do it. And we're like, internet radio? What? And, you know, so that would have been 2000. I don't know, early to mid-2000s, I'm not really sure. The paper started in 2001, you know, and John Panigot, Jim Mulvihill has some jobs in racing, and first year, Pete Fornatel was handicapping for us, you know, and it just goes on and on.
Don't you have somebody at CNN now?
Oh, yeah. Katie Bo Williams, Lilis, I think is her name now. She is literally on CNN. Didn't start at the Saratoga Special, but spent a couple summers at the Saratoga Special. It's really cool to see. And again, I can't say that it's necessarily... We can figure out a way to provide the opportunity, but it sort of depends on the person to make the most of it. And a lot of people have, and again, we're really proud of it. Anisma Pleasure, I saw yesterday,
we've had her on.
You mentioned Mary Eddy, that we kind of hated to lose her. She was, she lived up here, which made it easy for somebody to kind of come on board. She spent a couple summers with us, and then an opportunity opened up at Naira, and she got the job and has made the most of it. Yeah, I'm like you. I see the press releases come over and her bylines on there. I think all that's great. We're thrilled to do it, but eventually it comes back on them. People got to make the most of the chance, and a lot of people have, and racing's good about that. And I like to think the special sort of it's its own sort of stepladder to some of those things.
It's great. I'm up in the press box most afternoons, and the Saratoga Special interns are usually sitting down a little further from me, and you can kind of get the feel of, this is somebody who's going to do okay. I mean, I remember Gabby was there, and she was always running around doing some nice work, and you knew Travis. Like I say, I was on that radio show in the closet. Remember that? So you guys should be proud of that as well. And talk just quickly again before we get to the racing, some of the fun things that you guys do and will continue to do. The worth repeating is always great. Quotes every day that you guys find, the license plates that you see out in the parking lot. And one of the things that I think you guys do a great job with year in and year out, and that alone may be worth picking up the paper regularly, the stable tours.
Yeah, that was added a few years ago. Fasig Tipton came to us and wanted to sort of get involved, and they wanted a neat editorial hook to sponsor. And I think Sean, most of the ideas of the special are Sean's, and then we try to figure out how to make it work. So he came out of left field with a stable tour, and we're like, can we do that? Every publication day, we have a shed row tour or stable tour with a trainer. And a lot of times it literally is that, where you're walking the shed row with the person. Other trainers have so many horses, or they have different strings, different places. So maybe you're not literally walking down the shed row with them, but you stop and try to talk about as many horses as you can. Get a quick update from them. I get people who tell me all the time that, the stable tour gives me great insight to gamble. Yeah. And I'm like, you're doing better than I am, because I did the stable tour and I didn't get the insight, but whatever. For us, it's fun. It's a great way to meet a horse. I think the more racing in general, the more horses we can bring to people, the better.
Absolutely.
So say you're just some random fan and you read a little paragraph about somebody's horse, well, there it is, there's a little, I love it when we can get literal color of what the horse is doing at that moment, which is fun. He might be sleeping, he might be lying down, he might be eating, whatever, trying to bite you. The Reporter's Notebook, a little sort of skinny book, has a spiral bind at the top, and most horses want to eat that, so if you're standing there talking to the guy, usually the horse is messing with the notebook, which is really fun. And I think, again, it goes back to we know fans can't get to the horses the way we can, so use that access and get trainers talking about horses, bring it to fans, and let them learn about horses.
And also tout issue one has the Todd Pletcher stable tour, and again, you get it's still around, you can pick it up, but if you can't pick it up, go online and check out the Todd Pletcher stable tour. And one that I like every year is the Little Guy stable tour, where they're small stables that don't have enough for maybe their own stable tour, but you paste a lot of them together.
Yeah. Which is great.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
And I know Tom Law was talking to Jeremiah Englehart this morning, so he'll be in Saturday.
Oh, nice.
Again, we try to branch it out. And it is funny, when we first did it, we had to explain it. And now the trainers are like, when you say it, if they've never done one, they're like, oh, yeah, I read that. I think that's it's coming along, and it's fun. Really, it's a fun feature. We like doing it. It can be a lot of work. And when you wake up in the morning on a deadline day and you don't have one in the can, it's a lot of pressure. But, it's nice to get a couple days ahead. That really helps.
We should – you mentioned it, talking about the pressure. I just – give people a little idea of what it's like. And again, you used to do it daily.
Yeah.
Now it's just the times have changed enough that a couple of times a week, sales week, you'll be back to the grind a little bit. But talk a little bit about what goes into putting it out.
The daily part, or 4 or 5 days a week that we did, I think the first year we tried 6 days a week, and that was that was ridiculous. But that was a grind where you just started. It felt like you started with a blank slate every day. The papers were smaller then. The cards were a little different, so it made a little more sense to do it. Since then, we've adapted. But there's always late nights and trying to get it finished. I do most of the layout and design. I probably write the least between Sean, Tom, and myself. But you've got to get it. Helped for me. The more stories we have written ahead of time before I start doing the layout, the easier it all is. And then you sort of just putting it together between the advertising, bringing the stuff in, trying to come up with the headlines or whatever. And sometimes it seems to take all night. Other times it seems to go pretty smoothly. Tonight,
I never thought about the headline writing. Sometimes you get stuck and like
this cover. The ones on the cover can be a challenge, and I'm always trying to. Trying to outdo them. I'm like, you can't use the horse's name in the headline because they know the horse's name. We got to come up with something that's kind of like that, you know. And it all depends. Some days they're real easy and they come right to you. Other days,
And I know technology has changed. I mean, you used to have to drive everything.
Yeah. Literally, we used to drive things to the printer on a disc, you know, which is amazing to me that we did it that way. And we had to do, the first printer we had was in Clifton Park, and there was an early drive and then a late drive, and then we had to spend the night we'd just sleep in the parking lot for an hour while they printed the thing and then load it up the car and come back up here. And that part's changed a lot. It's all internet-based, transmit the files, papers get delivered back to Saratoga, you know, that part's gotten easier, but the papers have also gotten bigger. We didn't do very many, you know, 40, 50, 60 page papers back in the day. So where we are now, and it's also full color. We used to be very black and white, and it was sort of a longer sheet. The size was different, and again, just as technology changed and as you're trying to adapt and work with it, I think it's made a better publication. You get a little less ink on your hands probably in the color. But,
yeah, we were talking about the yesterday. We were talking about the old days with the broadsheet racing form where you'd wind up at the end of the day. But a great product. Again, Saratoga Special. Pick it up around town on if you're up in the area. If you aren't, this is horseracing.com. You can get the digital copy. Highly recommended. Let's talk a little racing now, and let's go back to yesterday and take a look and get some of your opinions on some of the stakes action yesterday. And yesterday was fun because the first stake of the meet was out of the mile chute. And I said when I was handicapping and doing the show yesterday, I said there's going to be a lot of anticipation. There's going to be some buzz for this race just to see how things are going to play out of this new chute. And I think there was a little bit of a buzz in the facility yesterday. Played out very nicely, and Cherie DeVoe winds up with the win, and Tarabi getting it done in the Wilton yesterday. What were your thoughts on the chute and the results of the race?
The chute seemed fine. I mean, we watched a little workout practice thing they did the other day, and the jockeys all were, you know, they were pretty confident that it wasn't going to be that tricky. They thought it was a nice long run. A couple things when you can see in that head on, that temporary rail they have out there really helps horses get straight. The inside horse, listening to the jockeys when they did the practice, they were worried about the inside horse. If he happened to break to his left, then he was sort of going to be aimed at the turn, you know, or the rail of the turn, or at least think he was, you know. And so that's where they put that temporary rail along there for him, and then they pushed everybody out where the, you know, started from the outer, the out all the way out, you know. And all the jockeys seemed to think it was a long enough run to the turn, and it played out like that in the race. And you know, Tarabi certainly figured, based on her form last year, and you know, whether the race came out of the chute or not, she was going to be pretty live, you know, in a 7 furlong, 1 mile, 3-year-old stake at Saratoga, you know, and she ran to it.
And Cherie DeVoe, you know, local product, good story, and I think, you know, she was an assistant for Chad Brown, went out on her own, and I think, boy, the last year and a half, she really has come into her own.
Yeah, they've got some nice horses in the pipeline. You know, I talked to her husband, David Engordo, yesterday, and, you know, the horses they're buying at the sale to try to bring into the barn are have turned into pretty nice horses. I mean, she's knocking heads with Echo Zulu, you know. She's not disgraced in any of those races. And to come back here and do this at Saratoga, and you could tell it meant something to her. It was her first stakes win in Saratoga.
Oh, was it? Yeah, okay. Yeah. I hadn't even thought about
that. And she'd had a couple near misses with some, you know, so that mattered. And obviously everybody wants to get off to a good start at the meet. You know, they're based in Kentucky, they're going to have horses here, but to bring horses here a few at a time and to win right out of the box. And like you touched on, a little history, winning the first race out of the new chute. Uh-huh. And I don't remember the old chute, right? It was 72 was the last. I know they did a little version of that in the 90s, but it wasn't the full 1 mile thing like this. And I love it. I think variety racing needs variety. The more we can try to do it, as long as it's safe for the horses and the people, why not? I think any variety we can add to it, the better.
I'm right with you. I think it's going to be a kind of a fun addition. Just what you say, the variety is going to be, and it gives one of the reasons they did it, and it does is going to give some options for the off the turf race.
Yeah,
different distance that, so now it's not one or the other. They've got that in between distance that I think folks are like. Schuylerville was also yesterday. This was fun. Jess Cindy, I thought, looked really good. Going to be the number one horse here in the replay. I will say Summer Promise, I took more action than I thought she would. Went off at 6-5, and we were talking about it earlier. The action was early. Summer Promise was 3-5 for a long time. Eventually went up to a more palatable 6-5. Wound up second in here, but I thought it was an okay second, and I'm hoping Wayne Lucas winds up with some winners, because I think he's going to be kind of a fun story at the meet. But it does wind up to be Just Cindy for Eddie Keneally over Wayne Lucas's Summer Promise. But I thought it was a nice performance, really, from both of the top two.
Yeah, and they had both won maiden races at Churchill Downs and kind of looked like the two, two players or, most competitive players. And I had gone over. Eddie does not have horses here. They've got horses in Kentucky. And Kelly Wheeler came over, and I came over with the horse, and I had met Just Cindy the day before. And she was literally in a barn just over here, and it's probably a barn that has 15 to 20 stalls in a row, and she was the only horse in the whole barn waiting on other horses to ship in. I felt bad for her. Kelly was like, yeah, she was really lonely. She didn't understand what was going on. And then Barkley Tags horses shipped in the next day behind her, so she had horses to look at out the back. But nice performance, and I'm sure Eddie and Kelly will be back with some horses that'll be pretty live at the meet. They're going to ship in and out with horses they think figure for Saratoga, and she's with that filly's owned by Clarkland Farm. The breeder's a Beholder, and so that part's kind of neat. The Beholder's going to the Hall of Fame, and to get a 2-year-old stakes win early in the meet is nice.
Yeah, on day one.
Yeah,
very nice.
Kelly used to gallop Wise Dan, so she was here.
Nice.
Charlie Lopresti. So very cool.
Yeah, very nice. Let's get some thoughts on today's stakes. We have a couple of stakes for this afternoon. The Coronation Cup, I think, is a fun race. I, as I understand it from looking at Twitter, Twilight Gleaming is going to come out. I had Twilight Gleaming on top. I moved up Empress Tiger, but on the handicapping show earlier, I said Static Fire is very interesting. With the turf win last year up here, then laid off and came back at Churchill end of May and had a dirt win. We're going to take a look at that dirt win. Static Fire is going to be the number one horse here. So 2 for 2 so far, including a turf win at Saratoga. So Static Fire is interesting, but Empress Tigress is on top for me. Marissa's Lady in the second spot, and then Static Fire. I think it's a fun race. What you see?
Yeah, and I think we're going to find out a little bit still with some scratches with horses entered at Monmouth and things too, so I'm not sure who's coming where. I just because I paid attention to it a little bit, the race at Laurel that some of these horses come out of, Poppy Flower and Artos and Derry Nane, I would go back to Poppy Flower and see if we can't hopefully. The scratch of some of these is probably going to change the prices a little bit, but Poppy Flower, I thought, had a little value on the morning line, had a decent chance. And the three horses coming out, Artos was right there too, and might even be a little more value behind some of that. So I think we'll know a lot more once some of these horses we get the latest information and try to figure
out. Absolutely. I mean, Twilight Gleaming is definitely an important.
Yeah, that's an important important change for sure.
And a little bit later on, the Forbidden Apple on the turf. I went with Set. To me, Set Piece and Mirror Mission are pretty close. I gave the edge to Set Piece on the show, the handicapping show earlier. Anthony Mormino liked the tone. I wouldn't argue against the tone. To me, the top two have a little bit of an edge on this bunch, but a tone is a little bit interesting. Pulled up the replay from the dinner party down at Pimlico back on May 21st. Set Piece is going to be the number three, and off of this effort, I tilted in that direction. But what did you think of the Forbidden Apple?
Set Piece was really impressive here.
Yeah.
I thought this was a really good effort. I mean, he had to work hard to come get this horse, and that's a race he's going to move forward off of, I think. So this turned into a really good race.
Yeah.
I mean, grade 3 mile on the grass, and it's a really good race, tough race. I think he's going to be tough for sure. He's going to, if he runs back to that race that we just saw, I don't see why he shouldn't. The third race this year, Mirror Mission's right there again, trying to hunt for value. I don't
I mean, is the value of Chad Brown horse like analyzed?
Yeah, that's what happens sometimes up here, right? Yeah. I mean, I
because after that, that's what it was after the race. $30 on a Chad Brown
horse.
What's
wrong with us? Right. Exactly. But again, he's gonna move forward a little bit for the run. I'm a Dave Donk fan. I love this horse. Yes and Yes. Phil Gleaves tells a hysterical story about how he got his name. So hopefully, if he wins, we can explain the story. And I'm not going to tell it now. So hopefully, he wins. We'll tell it.
Now we got to root for it.
Yeah, we got to root for it. Because but he's won three. You know, since Phil retired, went to Dave Donk. The horse has gone right up. His speed figures aren't that far off. He obviously hasn't run in a stake like these horses have, a run against horses this good. But and obviously, he's going to be a big price, and that's the idea.
John Velasquez.
Yeah, I don't know. But I'm with you. I think Set Piece is going to be very tough. You know, there's no reason why he shouldn't run back to that Pimlico race. And, he could vault into the upper echelon of turf milers, really, you know, even more into the upper echelon.
I've alluded to it a couple of times as I've been talking to you, and I mentioned John Velasquez. Are you guys at the newspaper excited on the human side of things? Because I think this year the jockey colony is going to offer you some opportunities. And I think the trainer side, Chad Brown and Pletcher, and I think Clement, but having Wayne Lucas up here with the string may add a little bit of story value as well. I think the human side is going to be fun this year.
Yeah, the jockey the jockey colony is going to be really fun. Yeah.
I mean, Fabian Pratt coming in is going to add some
intrigue. Yeah, it's going to affect things. I love to see Trevor McCarthy going to try to, grab a foothold into Saratoga. The season Dylan Davis just had down at Belmont, if he can keep that going. I think it's fun to see the young guys coming along and trying to find a niche. And, Javier Castellano gets off the bench with a triple yesterday, which will be fun. It's been a while since he's been battling up there at the top. And, if he could do that again, would be really fun.
Yeah, no question about it. Fun meet. We got off to a fun start yesterday. Great way to follow it is picking up the Saratoga Special. As I say, you can pick it up around town at the track. Or online at thisishorseracing.com. And again, what's the schedule going to be?
Wednesday, Saturday, and then a full 6 days in a row, starting with the Hall of Fame August 5th.
Through the sales week. Very good. Joe, we appreciate it. Joe Clancy from the Saratoga Special. And as I say, game plan on Fridays, have the Saratoga Special guys in, Joe, Sean, Tom Law. So we appreciate your kicking it off. Good luck the remainder of the meet.
Thanks for having
things
me.
Got off to a very good start. As I say, talking to you in the winner's circle yesterday, I know there was some bumps in the road, but you got it out. And we're looking forward to it throughout the meet. Joe, thanks.
No, thanks for having us.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Brian Addo is in the green room up from Florida. We'll talk a little opening day action and maybe get some ideas for today as well. Stay tuned.
For four generations and looking forward to a fifth, Bruce Cerrone and his family have continued their 99-year tradition of delighting their faithful following with the finest authentic Italian recipes made with the freshest ingredients. Some things have changed in the last 99 years, but not Pinnell's commitment to the finest in Italian cuisine. Pinnell's Italian Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, just minutes from the track.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
What if there was a way to become a better horse player, to have a better knowledge of the game, to be more successful? What if there were a way to take what you've learned, what you know, and make better decisions, better choices? In horse racing, knowledge is a powerful tool. Race results and replays, past performances and live streaming, wagering from all your digital devices. Capital OTB. Become a better horse player.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. Again, day two, Friday. Seth Merrill and Brian Addo back
to see you,
in
buddy.
The OTB seat, now based down at Gulfstream. I'm very envious watching you down there, particularly in January and February.
Yeah.
You and Ron, and a lot of fun watching Acacia, who has now moved on and is full-time up here, but she completed the championship meet. We had Mike Welch in yesterday, talking about beating the meet, the championship meet. That was quite a performance from Mike.
It's pretty remarkable, to be completely honest with you. I'll just say I didn't beat the meet. We'll leave it at that. But I actually saw that after the meet was over, and he put that out. And that really is remarkable,
yeah,
picking
crazy.
On a day-in, day-out basis.
Because like you said, with all the synthetic races now, where it's...
there's no doubt about it. So, yeah, Mike does a good job. Obviously, you know that. I don't have to tell you that. But good guy, too. We get to see him a lot down there. And,
yeah, you guys are all in the same
sharp
office.
Eye. Yeah.
Fun. You know, we were down there, back down this year for a Florida Derby. So it was great to see you, obviously, and Mike and Ron and the whole team down there. Dave Joseph, always fun to go down there. Talk a little bit about being down there and what it's like. As I say, I'm envious.
It's cool. I mean, I love it. We've got a great office. You mentioned Dave and Ron and Ed and Phil Janak is down there. I think we might be up here, actually, but he's down there for the championship meet and such. So, yeah, it's great. I'm so fortunate. You know, we were talking about this yesterday. It's a year-round track, and it's just very few. There really aren't any at all. And very, very fortunate. And obviously all the big hitters are there in the winter. And now we're, you know, a slower part of the season. We're running 3 days a week now and fixing up the turf course. So I think we're going to go back to 4 days a week. I think the plan is kind of late September. Early October. So, yeah, kind of get a little respite, and I was able to sneak up here and have some fun up here.
Yeah,
so,
welcome back.
Yeah,
good to see you. I saw you over at the track yesterday and over at the paddock bar area. I like the new paddock bar area, but there was a nice crowd in there yesterday, certainly.
Yeah, that's for sure. It's okay. I don't love it. I like the old one. I'm a kind of a traditionalist in that sense, but they did a good job with it. There's no doubt about it. So
looks great.
Yeah.
And again, getting back down to Gulfstream, you mentioned championship meet, a lot of big players. But I will say, at least the last two or three years, a lot of big players stick around. At least they'll have a string down there all year round.
For the most part, you know, Cassie, Mike Maker, they're the year-round guys. I think Todd.
Well, Safi, of course, is based down.
Yeah, I actually saw Safi up here yesterday. I know he's going to have horses here. I wasn't really sure if he'd be. You know, here up close and personal. You know, I think Todd Pletcher ran his last horse was kind of like in May. So they do hang around some of those outfits, and then they'll start coming back, trickling back in, you know, probably October, November, and then the championship meet starts. So, yeah, it's like I said, it's we're very fortunate, and the fact that it's all year is great. And, you know, we go 5 days a week during the championship meet, and that's a lot, as you know, up here, you know, and 6 days up here used to be. We all know that. So it's nice to kind of, you know, peel it back a little bit when it's over.
All right, let's talk a little bit about first opening day yesterday.
Yeah.
Just some impressions. Saratoga is Saratoga, and you've been coming here a long time. I thought yesterday was fabulous. There was that crazy rainstorm right before race one, where it really came down, but very briefly. Then the sun came back out, and it was a gorgeous opening day.
Yeah.
But over 28,000, great crowd, and I thought the racing was very good. I thought opening day here 2022 was lived up to all the expectations.
I agree. I mean, the crowd was great. I don't know what the actual number is.
28,466.
20, okay. And, you know, there was a lot of people here, but it was fun. The racing was good. It was hard. Stakes were good, and now that we were just talking, Anthony and I are off the air, 120,000 in the pick six carryover. So I didn't see the overall handle, but I know they were betting, that's for sure.
Yeah, so. No question about it. Let's get some opinions on the two stakes we were watching earlier. We'll watch it again just because of your thoughts on and I think there was a get in your area. I said yesterday I thought the first stake of the season, the Wilton, coming out of the new chute for the first time, I thought there'd be a little bit of buzz. And where I was, I think there was a little bit of buzz. I think people were excited to see how's it all going to play out. And I thought it went very well. The Wilton Tarabi for Cherie DeVoe gets it done. She'll be the number seven horse. I like Goddess of Fire, the number one for Todd Pletcher. Makes a nice late run. It was just a little bit too late, but I think things played out well first time coming out of the new shoe.
Yeah, this is a great view, too. Good job, guys, because you can see kind of what was going on there. We actually went to dinner at Pinnell's on Wednesday, and we walked by on Nelson Avenue, so I got to see it up close and personal. And I really... I'm surprised because I really felt when they announced they were putting this in, and I was kind of thinking like Keeneland, where if you're outside, you are in just a bad spot. And it turns out you want to be outside because you kind of, you saw it there on that run to the turn. It's quick, and the inside horse is almost in the Derby kind of S, where you need to get out a little bit. And so the outside... it seems to be beneficial in going forward. I don't know, you know, I'm sure they're not going to card 100 of these races, but you're going to see it in your PP. So I think we kind of figured that out a little bit. And, yeah, the winner's a nice filly for Cherie DeVoe, and she's done a good job with her. And she ran well in the Breeders' Cup. And, you know, now I think she is allowed to think she's going to have a nice second half of the year with that filly.
Yeah, I said Cherie DeVoe has kind of come into her own the last year and a half or so. And Tarabi, as you kind of alluded to, and Joe Clancy was saying earlier, finished behind Echo Zulu in a couple of starts last year.
Right.
And then the comeback, and I think Cherie DeVoe said it, just needed the comeback effort. So only four starts in the career. This was only the second start of the three-year-old season. And again, that comebacker was coming out of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Filly in November, the comebacker the middle of June. So I think she validated the point
for sure.
That benefited from that here. And so, yeah, very nice little three-year-old filly.
And, you know, the interesting, this is a mile and it's two turns, obviously. But, you know, I didn't read any quotes or anything, but I wonder if maybe she's going up or down with wind distance. But, you know, if you go into the test at 7 furlongs later in the meet off a two-turn mile, you've got a lot of foundation underneath you because, you know, they're going to go ballistic early in a race like that, and you've got a lot of foundation, so it'd be interesting
to
see what she does.
That seems logical, but I hadn't read any quotes either. But a little bit later on, the Schuylerville, and we were talking about this yesterday, and you know, you mentioned the Wayne Lucas horse, Summer Promise, went off at 6-5. I thought both of the top two finishers ran well. Jacindy looked very good here as the second choice for Eddie Keneally, going to be the number one horse, and Summer Promise the number nine for Wayne Lucas. As I said, I thought the top two proved themselves to be, at least at this point in the season, a couple of nice two-year-old fillies.
Yeah, I was shocked that the winner wasn't favored, not that she was any kind of
price. We were talking
price,
earlier, for a while, Summer Promise was 3-5.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think the Lucas factor, and he's back, and he's got some nice two-year-old fillies. I think that, obviously, and people like to see him win, and they know the horses and such. So she ran very well, obviously, but I think the winner's all right. And you know, we're going to see now that, you know, she's kind of the house horse. We'll see if she waits till the spin away or what. And now, obviously, we're going to see a lot of debuting or maiden special weight winners, but they have to get to her level. I don't think there's any doubt about that. She's all right for sure. So it'll be exciting to see where they go, if they run in the Adirondack or they just wait, you know, for the end to the spin away.
I don't want to throw this out at you necessarily, but you know, talking about the nice two-year-olds and whatnot, I'm just wondering if you did have an opinion on the Sanford, because I think you talk about nice debut winners, that race is full of them.
Yeah,
Forte and Andiamo a Firenze. Forte's, I was in doing the handicapping show the day Forte won the debut, and immediately afterwards they said we're headed to the Sanford.
Yeah.
And so I'm looking forward to that. But the sibling to Frenzy Fire, I think that they're two in there in a race full of horses who look good in their first start.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, Forte was really, really good. And me personally, anytime you see a two-year-old, especially early in the year, settle and pass horses, I think that's a big deal, because as good as Adamio Firenze was, you know, one in the slop, you know, over state breds, goes to the lead, you don't get anything out of those races.
And that was a plus for Jacindy.
Yeah.
Who in her debut had sat off
absolutely
the pace. And
right.
That's always big for a two-year-old.
100%. And they better that in that race, too. That's why I thought she'd be favored yesterday. I'm not going to be the homer here. I do want to mention Bapio, though. He was very, very good on debut at Gulfstream. He's a half to Papa Cap, who we know is all right. Second in the Breeders' Cup. You know, he ran in the he ran in a lot of three-year-old stakes this year and is still going. So Bapio is all right, and he's another one that was very, very professional in his debut. I don't think he can win this race. but you know, he's 15-1 on the line. I think he could probably get a piece of this because there's going to be some in these two-year-old races. Now that we stretch out, we get to 6 furlongs, attrition kicks in a little bit, and you know, you find that there's some stragglers in the lane there, you know, that just can't just wire a bad field anymore. So it'll be interesting to see how that kind of plays out. But yeah, to me, Forte, he looks heck to pay in there to me.
Yeah, 21st century two-year-old stakes races this time of year, this is what you get. A lot of horses that were impressive in debut, but as you say, they'll start to separate fairly quickly, you would have to think. All right, let's talk a little bit about, you know, I just wanted to throw that at you because we mentioned the two-year-old fillies, and I think that's a fun Sanford tomorrow. But let's talk a little action for today. The Coronation Cup at 5.5. The word is Twilight Gleaming is going to come out, which changes things, obviously.
Okay.
And given that, you know, and again, that's not official the last I looked, but on Twitter that seemed to be the indication. So double check that. But I will move up Empress Tigress, who I thought looked good in debut for Jonathan Thomas and Augustine. Marissa's Lady is intriguing for me. And again, pull up the replay from Churchill on May 28th of Static Fire. 2 for 2 so far. Turf here last year, dirt in this race down at Churchill. So Static Fire is intriguing, too. What do you see in the Coronation Cup?
Well, I was looking to beat Twilight Gleaming, so that's unfortunate. Good job here, guys. This is I feel like the one sheet had the play of the day in this race, and I remember just the race was, like, so speedy, full of speed, and it played out that way, and she just absolutely laughed at them all. She was so good, and I picked her today, Seth. I liked, you know, again, now you're telling me it looks like Twilight Gleaming's coming out, but, you know, I liked the fact that she was drawn outside Twilight Gleaming. This is a filly with, I don't think we know how good she is yet, and you know, Brian Lynch brought her back. I'm sure they probably had this race in mind all along. You look at the spacing, it's perfect. She ran a 5 that day. It was huge. You know, she takes Lasix off. I get that, but I think she's a filly with an extremely bright future. So, you know, you lose all value if Twilight Gleaming comes out. I don't know what 6-1 on the line. So she's probably going to be half that, but she looks like a really, really nice filly to me. And, you know, this is a 5.5, and these races go so quick. And sometimes you think, well, there's so much speed, it's going to fall apart. But it's like they get to the turn, and the race is over.
Yeah.
So I've been very guilty of that myself in the past, of saying, you know what, all this speed's going to come back. And sometimes, for the most part, it just doesn't. You better be involved early in these kind of races.
Yeah, I think it's a nice addition. Again, double check, and I just pulled up Twitter again. And pretty much what I read earlier is still there,
okay.
So it hasn't been officially put up as far as I have seen, but that's kind of the word. Let's take a look at the Forbidden Apple a little bit later on. I've said it now when Joe was here and during the handicapper report. I think Set Piece and Mirror Mission are pretty close talent-wise. Going to be really interested to see where the betting public goes, but I gave a little bit of an edge to Set Piece off the, again, we'll look at the dinner party from Pimlico last time off of that. Boy, that was really a nice performance. So I slightly put Set Piece over Mirror Mission. I thought they had the edge on this field, not by much, but Anthony Marmito on the handicapping show tossed in a tone. I had that one in the third spot. Best Effort puts that one in the mix. But what did you see in the Forbidden Apple?
Yeah, I mean, those are all the horses. The one I did pick, though, was Public Sector. I kind of feel like he's coming up to a lifetime best. And the fact that Chad ran him in the Turf Classic off that layoff against only three-year-olds last year, it kind of says to me he likes him, and I think maybe he expects a big campaign from him. And he was just, you know, in hindsight, I guess, probably maybe a little over his head that day, and he was being asked to do a lot. So I think you can just draw a line through that race, and then he comes back. I thought he was a good third to his stablemate in the poker, and he seems to be going this way. And, you know, Set Piece and Mirror Mission, you mentioned them both, and certainly I've got it 7-3-1-8. Certainly they're the two horses to beat. You also know exactly what they're going to do. They're going to run 100. They're going to run a 99. Set Piece is probably going to have to pass every one of them. That's not, you know, that's not the best set of circumstances. I don't think we've seen the best of Public Sector, and I don't think we know how good he is. And it looks to me today, third start of the year, third start of the form cycle, it looks to me like he's going that way. And maybe that's enough to get by both of them. But certainly if you're playing this pick six, I think you have to have set piece in mirror mission at A's. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I had a tone as a B a little bit further down, but certainly he figures in here as well. So well, Joe, I think those are the ones.
Joe Clancy was saying, we were talking about, and again, the logicals, and then where's the value in the race? And I said, the value in the race may be Chad Brown at 15-1 with Analyze It, because you're kicking yourself after it. Chad Brown at $30, but 6-1 on Public Sector from Chad Brown, I think people would be kicking themselves as well.
Yeah, I can't make Analyze. I mean, it's good that he's keeping on, but it's not 2019 anymore. I think he's lost a little bloom on the rose a little bit, so I had to kind of fade him.
With a couple, with $120,000 in the carryover, the pick six again on the handicappers report. Anthony Mormino and I were looking obviously at the entire card, but when we got to the kickoff leg to the pick six, we were all over the place with our picks, and we said, man, what a tough way to start the sequence. And then the 10th race was the same situation. And so when you sat down, I said, let's take a look and see what you think in these two races and find out if there's even more confusion or maybe get in a little more alignment. We'll see in the 5th race today. I have it 9, 6, 4, and 10. I thought the 5 Jewel Stone was a little bit playable. But I thought Lord of War stepping out of the starter allowances at 8-1 for Mark Cassey could be an intriguing runner. Seizing the Dream at 12-1 for Barkley Tag, I think is better than the odds. And Bally's Shade I have in the 3rd spot. I love State Bred Allowance into an open claim or open conditional claim or even better. And a lot of times you get decent odds, and the 15-1 stands out to me. So I have some prices in here, 9, 6, 4, and 10. What did you see?
Yeah, I got the 5. What's Jewel Stone on the line?
5-1.
I was kind of hoping maybe, at least the mosquitoes are still here, right? I was kind of hoping maybe.
More things change.
Yeah, that he falls through the cracks a little bit. He's been running one turn around the turf, but you dig, and back when Chug had him, he had some pretty darn good two-turn turf for him, Seth, and Saez gets aboard, and he's got some speed to work with. He doesn't need to drop too far out of it. And I thought those races at two turns fit nicely with this group. Technically he's facing better today, but I think he's, got form to play with these. And you're right, it's a deep spread. It's a very problematic race to kick off a pick six because you can't really lean on anyone. 5, 10, 9, 6 was my order on the one sheet, which of course I'll update it with the scratches and all that, but it is a tough race. Certainly Lord at War fits for Dylan Davis, and there's a lot of different ways you can go. Seizing the Dream, as you mentioned, second off a layoff for Barkley, probably in a race he was pointing to all along. So yeah, you can, it's a race you can really kind of throw some stuff at the wall and see if it sticks at 8, 10, 15-1.
It's
kind
a
of thing.
Tough way to kick things off. David Aragona made the favorite 4-1, the number 10, Al's Prince. So how often do you see 4-1 on the morning line as the favorite? And I just also wanted to take a look at the finale, as I say, because we were all over the place there too. I think the sequence starts out tough, and I think the sequence ends tough. The 10th today, going off about 6:15, optional state bred optional claimers, non-winners of 2, 6.5. I have a 2, 3, 6, and 8. I thought the 4 was also a little bit playable as well. Rosa Veloce claimed 2 back for 40 in an optional claimer last time, not for the tag, now drops in for the tag. But it's one of those moves, given the horse being claimed for 82 back, that leaves you a little bit leery. Cali Magic, I thought, was in some good form and playable. And Mosienko at 12-1. I think is very interesting with Luis Saez on board. I have a 2, 3, 6, 8. What did you see?
I was all inside, and Rosa Veloce is my best bet of the day. And it's a tepid one. Admittedly, I struggled with this card to have strong opinions, and the one she'd always put to play the day out there. So this is her 2-1-3 for me, all inside, like I said. But you said it perfectly, Seth. The bad taste in your mouth, right? And Bill Morey does such a good job. He's a high percentage guy, and he claims this one from Ray Handel, and she just didn't run last time at all. At 3-2, by the way. It wasn't like she was 9-1 in that spot. And now she's in for 45. I don't know, maybe he's playing poker here, and if she wins and gets claimed, they all of a sudden they're out. So, there's no issue there. But, when he claimed her for 80, I'm pretty sure he wasn't expecting to dangle her for 45 two starts later. So, You know, tread lightly, but I think if she can get back to any of her prior races, she's going to win. The question is, can she do that? Pretty clever, probably a decent little price down on the inside. I liked her last race at 7-1. You're probably supposed to get that kind of price today. She can settle a little bit early, but she doesn't have to fall too far out of it. And you mentioned the three as well, Cali Magic, who's got some versatility too. And she kind of stubbed her toe a little bit last time, and that kind of broke a string of pretty sharp efforts, fast efforts. Maybe she can kind of cycle back around too.
It is worth mentioning, though, as you kind of alluded to, the $100,000 first maybe mitigates the
right
a little bit.
Right, certainly. And that's the thing. So you do, you know, 60 grand to the winner and claim her for 45, and there's 105 right there. Yeah. So they're out and then some. So maybe, like you said, mitigates the fact that she's in for the 45.
There are definitely going to be some nice purses up here this summer. And also, as you said, go ahead.
Well, I just want to say, you know, the Diana tomorrow. I know Chad's got four of the six. Just make sure you don't have to bet, but just make sure you watch Bleecker Street. She is awesome. I was fortunate enough to kind of pick up on her early because I do trip notes.
What did she do in there? Because my first inclination was to go with her. She does what she has, for seven. But I think Rozier, I drew a line through the last race. I'm wondering if we get what was expected last time with the short price. I'm looking for a rebound there.
No, I won't ever play against Bleecker Street. I think she's awesome. It doesn't matter how fast or slow they go early. She's just going to run them all down. So she is exciting. I was glad to see her get a grade one last time. Yeah. I think she's awesome. So I can't go against her. The Rozier, I didn't really know. I mean, what's the reasoning that you're drawing a line through it? I just thought she was flat, to be honest.
But it looked to me like an aberration.
Uh-huh.
You know, it seemed like the race two back was just too good to think that last one was, you know. And what happens tomorrow will validate one way or the other.
There's no doubt about it.
So it's one of those that we'll know after the race which way I was right or wrong.
You know what's interesting? For a six-horse turf race, there actually is quite a bit of speed in the race. You know, technical analysis certainly is down inside. Dalika can be a runoff sometimes.
Yeah,
and, you know,
to me, Dalika's best races are on the front end going back to the fairgrounds.
And in Italian's not letting anybody get away. Yeah. So there's a lot of pace in this race for a six-horse grade one turf race, which kind of makes it that much more fascinating, and to me, I think it makes it that much more Bleecker Street to the hoop. So,
again, it is a fun addition, no question about it. So far, the stakes action has been very good.
Without
I think the stakes action all meet long. I think the divisions have played out very well. And the last few weeks, we did a little preview show the other day, and you know, Olympiad and Life is Good potentially in the Whitney. The coach with Secret Oath in the coaching club, American Oaks. I think that, as I say, the three-year-olds who haven't defined themselves so far, I think the Jim Dandy and then down at Monmouth, the Haskell, but Travers later in the meet, I think those are races that are going to help define things. And given what we saw Chargett do the other day, I wouldn't be surprised to see him put his hat firmly in the ring.
Yeah, without a doubt. What, he ran a 113, I think, that
something
day,
like
right?
that. It was triple
digits. Dwyer, so it's exciting, as it always is up here. And I think maybe this year even more so than a little bit, because these three-year-olds are good, and they seem to be all kind of here or converging here as in the Travers. So.
Yeah, looking forward to it. And again, one sheet. People can find it on CapitalOTV.com every Saratoga racing day. You'll have the matrix and the best bet and play of day, and et cetera, et cetera.
Yep. So it's good to be up here. I think this is probably it for me. I think this is the only weekend. We were saying to Joe, this is the first time essentially in my life that I won't be here for the whole meet.
They got the simulcast fired up down at Gulfstream.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's a complaint either, by the way.
It's not
the 40 days. So
I have to ask you. I was watching a podcast, or I was listening to a radio show the other day, and the host had zoomed in a guest from Miami. And the host said, oh, man, I feel for you. Florida in the summertime, that stuff. And the guy said, you know what? That's like a myth. He said, yeah, it's like in the 80s here, but I'm in Florida. It's a great day. It's a nice summer day. So what?
Maybe did they do it at like 4:22 in the morning? It's 118 degrees every day.
That's what I wanted to know. I wanted to validate it one way or the other.
It is hot, but it's hot everywhere in the summer. You know what? Yeah. It's not in the summer. It's not 20 there in the winter. That's what it is. So now I'm very fortunate.
I guess I'm envious.
Things are going well, and it's good to be up here. Good to see all you guys.
Are we going to see Ron up
Anthony? Here? Yeah, Ron is always up there in Travers, so he He will be up. He might have a horse, actually.
Oh.
His cousin,
Tom,
rode
a
horse.
Yeah, I had Tom on with Ron last year.
Oh, you did?
Year.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Jenny Waterbags is the horse's name after Ron's old business. And New York bred Justify, Philly, that is, I think he just texted me yesterday. She worked again. So I think she's had five or six breezes. So she's going to run up here. At some point, not sure when. I think Jorge Abreu has her, so they're pretty excited about that. And Ronnie will be up Travers Week.
So we'll have him bike over and sit in.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Maybe we'll have Tom in too.
He's
telling the story. They call I forget the exact tree, but his farm's called Eight Maples or something like that.
Tom's a good guy too.
And he said, it was like a year later. Somebody said, "Those aren't maples."
That's funny.
Good guys. You can't change the name now.
No, it's too late. It's long gone now. So, he always comes up during Travers Week, and I'm sure he'll be holding court up here somewhere. We love him.
We'll pull him over.
The best.
Brian, appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of the time up here. Cash some tickets, certainly. We think you're doing a great job pregame and the paddock analysis down at Gulfstream. As I say, I am very envious watching it, particularly in the January and February months. But as I say, have some fun. Appreciate you stopping in
today. Yeah, good to see you, everybody, as well. So, good luck.
Very good. And we'll wrap it up because it's 11 a.m. So that's it for this morning's programming here on the network. But that means we shift over to the simulcast signals of racing all around the country, particularly Saratoga for this afternoon. Come on up and enjoy today, and it's going to be another beautiful day here. Always like to tell people to come to the track because that brings new fans into the game. But if you can't make it up here, stop at the Clubhouse Racebook or one of the other OTB locations, or fire up your Capital OTB bet account and play that way. It's going to be a nice, fun day of racing again here at Saratoga this afternoon. Otherwise, back in tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. for the Handicapper Support, 10 a.m. for Racing Across America. We'll see you then.
For the juvenile fillies turf, 14 of them across the track. Evil Scent on their way. End of the dance on the outside. Broke a little sideways with Pro KK, but meanwhile it's going to be Stipe and running on now. And Somali Lemonade's got eight to make up. They come to the top of the lane. Stop shopping. Maria's got a lot left. Stop shopping. Maria goes on. Sweet Cat is right there. Hard not to like. Royal Body is running on. Past the eight ball, they come. Stop shoving Maria for the run. Still under a hand ride as they come to the 16th. Stephanie's Kitten coming out late. Yes, Stephanie's Kitten coming fast. Stephanie's Kitten, stop shoving Maria. Stephanie's Kitten's warning.
The chances broke smartly, but so did Terra from the Cape. On the inside, Sky Lantern the Grey going well. If he can get through, Sky Lantern the Grey looking for somewhere to run. Wide open. It's Terra from the Cape hanging on. Terra from the Cape tries to go all the way. On the outside now, here comes Flotilla in the light blue. Flotilla is absolutely flying. Watch the chances in there too. But Flotilla has gone right on by. And Flotilla is coming home to score. Flotilla has won at just about two in the end. It'll be Watch the Chances, Summer of Fun, coming on to finish there.
For four generations and looking forward to a fifth, Bruce Cerrone and his family have continued their 99-year tradition of delighting their faithful following with the finest authentic Italian recipes made with the freshest ingredients. Some things have changed in the last 99 years, but not Pinnell's commitment to the finest in Italian cuisine. Pinnell's Italian Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, just minutes from the track.
Come on!
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops, my bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off Track Betting.